I just want to share for a couple of minutes on this passage, and then we're going to spend some time thinking and praying and responding to what we've seen and what we've heard today. One of the questions in these little books, talked a little bit about that last week, one of the questions is this. Number 6, did the Bible live in me today? And as we think about this passage from Ezekiel, I found myself asking, what does it mean for the Bible to live in us? What does it mean for the Bible to live in us? There are some bits of the Bible I'm thinking, ooh, how does that live in me? But what does it mean for the Bible to live in us today? And I want to say this book is so important, isn't it? It's vital to our life and growth in Christ, our understanding of who we are, our relationship with Him. And I think what we have in our passage from Ezekiel is a couple of points about how this book lives in us today. But it takes a bit of activity on our part. Okay, so a couple of things I'm going to bring up. But before we do, I want to read what we've written in our statement of faith as a church about the Bible. We spent 4 months writing this. We spent time looking at it as a leadership. We spent time looking at it as church meeting. We discussed it, debated it, and we've come up with these points that we would say are part, and it's what we sort of base ourselves upon. This is what it says about the Bible. The Bible is God's inspired people by the power of His Holy Spirit to write this down. And it's an essential. Essential means absolutely necessary, extremely important. It's an essential way that God speaks to us. We've heard today about He speaks to us in so many different ways. But this, I think, is such a key way in which He speaks to His people today. And it says this, when we spend time reading it, thinking about it, and making it part of our daily lives, God, by His Holy Spirit, can reveal who He is, who we are, and what He wants to do in our lives. That's what we believe about this book. That's what we believe about this book. It's God's inspired word to us, an essential way that God speaks to us. When we spend time reading it, thinking about it, and making it a part of our daily lives, God by His Spirit can reveal who He is, who we are, and what He wants to do in our lives. Do we agree with that statement today? We do. We agree with it, which means if we agree with it, we kind of got to do something about it, haven't we? It's got to shape our behavior, if you like, our actions, our attitudes, the things as we come to this word, because it's absolutely necessary, extremely important. So here's the question I want us to think about for a few minutes. How does this book, how does the Bible live in us today? Let's just go to Ezekiel 37 and just for a couple of minutes, just think about what we can that Ezekiel had to help the Bible live in us today. So Ezekiel, as we saw, isn't that brilliant? It's great, isn't it? And did you notice something? These guys were listening. They were right there, weren't they? They were like, and I don't know about you, I was listening as well. Something about puppets, isn't it? Okay, Ezekiel is a prophet. His job was to hear the word of the Lord and to share it with the people. I think this is another who said there's lots of different ways in God speaks. You read through Ezekiel, it's a wacky book, isn't it? It's a wacky book. He has to do some really weird and wonderful stuff. He had dreams and visions. He would sometimes do things. Sometimes he would just hear the word of the Lord and he would share it. Sometimes he would do something crazy like make a volcano in the middle of a... No, he doesn't do that, but there are things that he did. But that's the point, isn't it? So we were speaking, I don't know about you, I sat there and watched this just bubbling over and bubbling over. And God starts speaking to me about overflow. Yeah? I heard he was a shy guy. I wouldn't say reluctant, but he was a shy guy. He got into some scrapes. But then we get to this kind of weird and this wonderful vision about a load of bones in a valley. Probably Googling this and said, I didn't want to put a picture up today. You know, it's hard. That's the kind of picture I have in my mind. Some of the things we see on the films, you know, just bones, you know. And he's got this vision, these bones in a valley after a battle. And they come alive as he speaks God's word to them and over them. The vision was shared with God's people at a time when they were pretty desperate. We got this from the puppets, didn't we? They turned their backs on God. They were taken away from their homes, and they were a place called Babylon. They were in exile. They were slaves. Life was hard. They were not happy. And maybe when it talked about dry bones, they could have related to that in some way, because it would have felt very dry and difficult for them. But then this vision comes, and God does what he does so beautifully. What does he do in this vision? He brings hope. He brings hope. This is not the end. There is a future. You can rise up. You can hear the word of the Lord. So what happens? And what is it about this passage that can help us to have this book, this Bible that we have living in us? Two things that I want to mention. First comes in verse 4. He said, "Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to these bones, say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.'" Now, I've read this passage I don't know how many times. It's a common one. It's a popular one. We read it often in this place, don't we? And you know when you like read something and it feels like you've read a line in it for the first time? I don't know why I've never heard this before. I'd never noticed. Hear the word of the Lord. That was the first declaration, the first prophetic utterance that he had to make. Hear the word of the Lord. We jump onto the spirit, to the breath, don't we? But first he says, hear the word of the Lord. And as I read it, it was like God underlined it for me. This life coming into the dryness and the lifelessness starts with the hearing the word of the Lord. Can we have the next slide? Does anyone know who that is? It's my dog, Maisie, looking a little bit younger. It's the only one I could find on my laptop. This is Maisie. Maisie's getting old. She's 13. Is she 13 and something like that? Anyway, so she's old. And what's happened is she's gone almost totally. What happens is she just lays there. She's oblivious to what's happening. So, but when she was younger, and those of us who've got dogs, they know their hearing is absolutely acute. So I would just like creep into the kitchen. I'd like walk past the area where her dog treats would be. And I might just brush against the edge of a packet. And suddenly there's this dog like this. You know, you'd be like not at dinner time. And you'd be like just walking into the utility room. And again, almost the sound of the door opening. I might click her bowl with my heel and suddenly she's like. And this is the kind of hearing that Ezekiel is talking about. It's attentive hearing. It's attentive hearing. It's a listening. And it's not like a just sort of a casual listening. It's a listening out. It's almost like an eavesdropping. I've got my ear tuned to what the Lord is saying. And that's the prophecy. Ezekiel says, say to these bones, hear the word of the Lord. Listen with all your being to the word of the Lord. That's the kind of listening. And that's the kind of listening that I think the Lord wants for us to have when it comes to his word. I love the way he speaks sometimes in the most unusual places and the most unusual circumstances. Yeah? Sometimes it just takes my breath away. Lord, something will happen. I'll see something. I'll watch a movie sometimes, you know, and it's just like, oh. But what I do know is the place where I'm listening at my mostest, if you like, is when I take this book in hand. When I have his word before me and I'm listening, I'm listening. I'm in Revelation at the moment and it's hard going. And then just this week, just this two lines and it's just like, boom, got you. And I'm like, oh, yes, your voice. So beautiful. And it speaks to me deep, deep down. And then for me, it speaks to others through me. I've got a testimony, a story of his word. So we start with the listening. We start with the listening. Ezekiel spoke to the dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. But then there's another element, another aspect of this, the word becoming living in us that we read in this passage. Should we go on? Leave up, Maisie. Listen to this. It's verse 9. It says, then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to this, whatever the sovereign Lord said, come breath from the four winds and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. When it says they're the four winds, I'm not sure we know what that is, but they would have. It was part of their vocabulary, the first listeners of this word. And what I read was is that it's sort of referring to God's natural world, but the power of God in the natural world. It's basically where miracles can occur and where strength of God is made visible to humans. And this is what they sort of meant when they talked about the four winds. It's God's activity here on earth. God's powerful, majestic activity here on earth. Ezekiel is calling on, he's inviting, saying to the living spirit of God to come breathe into these bodies. Like Linda kept breathing, didn't she? Did you hear that? It was like, and that's what was happening. There was a breath of life like Adam was breathed into. And what these did was it brought life to these bodies that had formed. For this book to be living in us, we need two things. And they're in the passage. We need the word before us, and we need the spirit within us. Okay, we need the word before us, and we need the spirit within us. We can fill our head up with this book, and it can make little difference to our lives until we say, come, Holy Spirit. Reveal to us what you're saying by your word. Come, Holy Spirit. What does this mean? Because I believe when the word of God goes forth, there's a power in that. Not just a word. It's full of potential and power and possibility. But we need the Holy Spirit. Let me read to you. I love this quote by R.T. Kendall. Some of you will know who R.T. Kendall is. He's been like a key figure for so long. And he wrote a letter to the church on his 80th birthday. And this is what he said. Thirdly, there's a number of different points. This was the third. And it was about marrying the Word and the Spirit together. He said, the Word and the Spirit will come together as it did in the book of Acts. There is a growing conviction that a remarriage between the Word and the Spirit is God's way. I say this because those truly open to the person and work of the Holy Spirit in the operation of spiritual gifts are now in the majority among evangelicals in the UK. Sadly for me, this is not the case in the United States. He says this, we will not win people over by theological argument alone. Then he goes on, by word I mean the centrality of the gospel. By spirit, I mean signs, wonders and miracles. I believe that it will mean a spontaneous combustion of power. That's what we're trying to see today, a spontaneous combustion of power and authority for the church and a wake-up call to the nations. Never forget that John Newton, famous for his amazing grace, was the impetus behind William Wilberforce, who brought incalculable social change to the world. While we wait for this nation-changing awakening, we thank God for the encouraging signs now. We need to be absolutely relentless in bringing the Word and the Spirit together. If something is preached in this place, I believe we should expect to see by the power of the Holy Spirit that Word revealed. Because it's not just a human Word. when we speak it out according to his will and purpose, what I believe is it carries within itself the ability to fulfill itself. It's not a human activity, it's through a human servant, but it is a work of the Spirit. Do we believe that? Can I just say that? Do we believe that today? Because I believe that R.T. Kendall's right. When we marry these two together, we will see the most amazing outpouring of God's Spirit. Word and Spirit together. What does this look like for us? What does it look like for us? I don't think this is just for us. I think this is the world, as it says in that quote. But it starts with us, doesn't it? It starts with his church. It starts with us taking this book in hand. I'm not going to tell you how, but I will say this. Taking this book in hand regularly. Rhythms and habits that mean we consume this book, these words. You know, even when we don't understand it, pressing in, because it still makes a difference, because it's his word. And then as we do it, we say, Lord, come and sit next to me. Yeah? Like Joe, thank you for sharing that simple story of the Holy Spirit just coming alongside. Because that's what we need to do. We take this book in hand and we say, Holy Spirit, like a friend, come, because I need you to show me, to lead me, to help me with this book. There's much that we could talk about in response to this passage today, but the thing that the Lord really laid on me this morning, I was going to email you all and say, bring your Bibles today. Because part of this month of prayer, part of what God is doing is he's raising the bar, he's lifting the temperature. Do you feel it? I feel it. I feel it. And the way he's going to do it, saying, come Holy Spirit, reveal it to me. What are you saying to me and to this world out there? So I want us to almost kind of invite God by his Spirit to take us to a new place of our relationship with this book. If we're way on with it, then there's another step to take. Maybe you're just snacking on it, and actually what he wants you to do is feast on it. And I think that will raise the spiritual bar in our lives and in our church.